Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
Live from the Palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to a Thursday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all of our great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, and that free Odyssey app. 855-212-4CBS is the number to jump on in. 855-212-4227. You can always get at me on Instagram where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter at Zach Gelb. That's ZACHGELB. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, well, Rocket can, and producing this fine extravaganza for the next 4 hours, let's see if he's ready today, is no other than Hot Take Hickey.
His dumb producer, Hot Take Hickey.
Good guest list for you coming up today, coming up in about an hour 20 from now. Bobby Carpenter will stop by. We'll do a little double dip, NFL, college football. Then at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, Matt the Steamroller Frivola is going to join us, fresh off his UFC 281 victory. And then in the final hour of the show, Lofa Tutupu will swing by to discuss a little Seattle Seahawks and the USC Trojans, as the Trojans still have a chance to get into the college football playoffs. So you're telling me a chance? That's the way that it kind of feels like it is with USC, that there's a little bit of a chance that they could get in, but I do not expect USC at the end of the year to be in the college football playoffs. So a whole lot to do. Let's start things off with week 11 tonight that gets underway in the National Football League. And when I look at this matchup, it's really a matchup of the Green Bay Packers needing this one in the worst way possible, because this is a game for Green Bay that they built up some momentum last week when they found a way to come from behind. They beat Dallas. And not that anyone walks away from that game and says the Packers are back, but it makes you think, okay, there's at least somewhat of a buy-in, somewhat of a level of intrigue, somewhat of a level of interest to say they're not dead yet. And that's the best way to describe the Packers. They're not jumping up and down. They're not looking like a team that is full of energy and a ball full of energy. But they could, if they get a win tonight, start to get the train back on the tracks, where if you lose the game tonight, all the air just gets sucked right out of the balloon, pop, and you're really back to where you were right after that Detroit game of there's no consistency. And if you lose tonight, you'd only have had one win since the start of October, which obviously would not be good. But you look back at that performance against Dallas and how they were able to win the game, you saw two things that were really clear on how the Packers won the game. They put an emphasis on running the football. They said, we're going to limit Aaron Rodgers, which you raise an eyebrow. You go, is that really a good decision? He's our best player. But this offense does not have a guy that you could really trust right now that means you're going to stretch the field vertically and throw the football to. There's just not that consistent wide receiver there. So they look at the strength of this team. It's Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon, and it was a heavy dose of both running backs up against the Dallas Cowboys, and I would anticipate that is the strategy tonight, but you're also going to need one of these wide receivers to break out. Now, I know Christian Watson did it last week. He joined us on the show earlier this week. He was sensational, but he does not need to go have 107-yard performance and three touchdowns tonight. Sure, you'll take that. Sure, that would be great. But you just need someone to take that baton, step up, and give you somewhat of a positive play. Because if your game plan is just run, I don't think that's going to be enough. You're still going to need that big play to come to fruition at least one time for the Green Bay Packers to win. You know, let me tell you, even after the Packers beat the Cowboys, I was down on them. I didn't really feel as if going into Tennessee they were going to be able to string back-to-back efforts. But the more and more I think about this game that's going to kick off in 2 hours from now, I lean Green Bay tonight. And I think the Packers do win the game tonight. Because here's the thing. Desperation is massive in this sport. And that team in the Green Bay Packers last week, when they're down up against the Dallas Cowboys by two touchdowns, they could have just wilted under pressure. They could have folded. They could have packed it up and said, okay, it's just not our year. We're going to be destined to go 3-7. The fact that they didn't, and the fact that they got that game to overtime and were able to pull off that game in overtime when you have a quick week, which none of these players like that Thursday night game, I do believe the advantage is in Green Bay's favor, because Green Bay knows if they don't win this game, it's going to go back to, wow, what are the Packers? The Packers don't look like they're making the playoffs. The Packers have been disappointing. Where for Tennessee, yes, they lost last week. Yes, they had, you look at the Tennessee Titans and what they were able to do. It's just like one of those scenarios where they're coming off a win, against the Broncos. And the week before, they lose to the Chiefs, where you don't need a real consistent effort by Tennessee right now. And you don't have to have this game, because when you look at Tennessee, they're just a team that they're easily going to win the AFC South. They're 6-3. I don't think you're concerned and worried about the Jets. Saturday led 4-5-1 Indianapolis Colts. So on a quick turnaround and in a game that you have, that just screams to me, when you look at the result of this game with Tennessee having some injuries, that it's going to be sloppy. You know that Tennessee always has a good effort and that Mike Vrabel always has his team ready to go. And they find a way, even when they don't have the best quarterback in the world, they don't have all their guys, they're able to give efforts like what they were able to do 2 weeks ago against Kansas City, and they just find a way to keep it close. So, like, I expect this game to be close tonight, but I just look at that level of desperation, and I think it's just going to be greater from the Green Bay side, and I'm going to err on the side that the Green Bay Packers are going to win the game tonight. And if the Packers win tonight, I'm not going to sit here and tell you, oh, they're definitely going to make the playoffs, but they perk back up into the conversation, because right now the seventh seed is 5-4. That's San Francisco. If you do get this win tonight and you're Green Bay, you go to 5-6 and you at least keep that hope alive that there is a path. If you don't win tonight, there really is no path. You have to pretty much be perfect down the stretch to get into the postseason. And this is a Green Bay Packers team, as they have clearly displayed, up against the Giants, up against the Jets, up against the Commanders, up against the Bills, even in a win last week, that they are very far away from being a perfect team, from being a great team, from being a dominant team again. So I'm just going to rely on the home team tonight. I'm going to rely that there's some magic cooking up at Lambeau Field, and I think the Packers are going to find a way to at least keep their hopes alive of getting to the postseason for a few more weeks, and we'll see them what they could take care of business down the stretch. Where you look at the remaining schedule after tonight for the Green Bay Packers, they have Philadelphia, tough game. You have Chicago, Justin Fields playing better. You have the Rams, not been a good team. Dolphins been one of the better teams in the league. Vikings already killed you. They've been one of the better teams in the league. And then you end things out with the Lions, who you just lost a few weeks ago, 16-9, when the offense could do nothing and Aaron Rodgers threw three interceptions. So I think it's a close game tonight. It would not surprise me whatsoever if Tennessee does win the game, but I am leaning, and I'm surprised I'm actually leaning, on the side of the Green Bay Packers, because on Monday, I thought that Tennessee was going to win. On Tuesday, I thought Tennessee was going to win. Yesterday, if you would have asked me, I would have said Tennessee as well. Today, I woke up and I just thought, Green Bay's the more desperate team, short week, Tennessee banged up. They really don't need this game. You know that they're going to win the AFC South. So I like the Packers tonight to take care of business, especially on Leroy Butler night, too, at Lambeau Field. How can you lose when the inventor of the Lambeau Leap is in the house, as he'll get his name put up in the Ring of Honor, the Pro Football Hall of Famer? So, Hickey, where are you at in this game? I know you hate the Tennessee Titans, and you like the Green Bay Packers. So are you with me that the Green Bay Packers are going to win the game tonight, or is this one of those rare instances where you actually say on national radio, and you actually have these words come out of your mouth, that Tennessee is going to win the game? Because you usually just are very disrespectful to the Tennessee Titans, and you usually pick them to lose, and you're usually wrong when it comes to your predictions with the Tennessee Titans. How are you doing?
You mentioned it. I hate the Titans.
You do.
By far the most hated team in the NFL for yours truly. With that said, I think they're winning tonight.
Ooh.
This has a Mike Vrabel game written all over it. I don't trust this Packers offense continuing what they did on Sunday against the Cowboys. I think it's a nice game, but I don't think it's repeatable for sure. I know the Titans are banged up. This just feels like with Mike Vrabel and how he's always able, no matter who's playing, who's not, short week, long week, doesn't matter. He has his guys ready to play. He by far gets the most out of his roster compared to any other coach in the NFL. I think they're going to go into Lambeau, win a tough, gritty game. Derrick Henry's going to get the ball a lot. They're going to win, let's say, 20-17.
I'm actually with you on the score. I think this is like a 2017, 23-20 type of game. And that does, I think, benefit Green Bay a little bit more. Not that Tennessee is this high-octane offense by any stretch, but you do have the dominant force of Derrick Henry. You know where their offense is coming from. Green Bay just has not put up a lot of points this year. And you say it's not sustainable what they did last week. I just want you to clarify, are you talking about the Christian Watson production? Because, yeah, that's an outlier when the guy gets three touchdowns, but you would think he's capable of getting a touchdown tonight, right?
Not really. Like, why should I believe it? Like, he had a really good game, but this offense, for the most part, for Green Bay passing-wise, has been anemic. It's been inept. So I don't think one game is going to all of a sudden be like, oh, they figured it out.
Rookie, though, transitioning into the league, has had some injuries. Maybe he starts to ride a little bit of a momentum wave and starts to salvage this season down the stretch. You know, I actually feel pretty confident tonight that Christian Watson is going to get a little Zach Gelb show karma, and he's going to find a way to get into the end zone. I may or may not have placed a wager this morning at plus 190, and how I know that number means that I did place that wager on Christian Watson anytime touchdown. And I also like A.J. Dillon over on rushing yards, only 33.5. I think this formula, what Green Bay established last week, where they have in other weeks have gone to it and then have gone away from it, that's what intrigues me the most. Are they going to stick with that formula of run, because as you pointed out and I pointed out a few weeks ago, even though it sounds bizarre to say take the ball out of Aaron Rodgers' hands, the best way for Green Bay to get on a momentum wave, to find a way to start to get back in the right direction in the interim, is to run the football as much as possible. And I would be surprised tonight with how successfully it worked against a very good defense in Dallas. And now you're going up against another good defense in Tennessee. If now Matt LaFleur, who gets all this credit and I think is a tad overrated, if he goes into the game tonight with Rodgers also screaming at him last week on the sidelines, run the damn ball, run the bleeping ball, if he goes away from the run game tonight, I would think heavy dose of the run sets up the pass, and then that's when you hit the pop for Christian Watson for a touchdown. But that's an intriguing point to me tonight, Ryan. How much are they going to run the ball? Because if they go away from that run game early, and it's different than what it's been like in that Lions game, like you saw against the Bills, right? They started to run the football more. And the Lions game, they went back to the heavy pass. They have to find a way now to consistently just go in with the mentality that we're going to be a run-first offense now when you look at the Green Bay Packers.
And can they run the ball? I mean, look, their offensive line for the Packers is banged up. The Titans are a pretty good run defense. It's like, if you can't run the ball, can you rely on Aaron Rodgers? I know it's crazy to throw out there and question it, but even if Christian Watson gets one touchdown, can anyone else step up and, you know, can they get two or three more through the air? Like, I feel like the
answer
right now
is no. It's going to have to come on the ground. I think you bank on one through the air, and the rest is all going to be on the ground with Aaron Jones getting you into the red zone. And then once you're in the red zone, you hand it off to the big back in A.J. Dillon, and he muscles his way into the end zone. That's what I think the approach is tonight. We'll see what happens. So you're going 20-17, and you're taking Tennessee is what you're telling me.
Unfortunately, yes.
You're taking the Tennessee Titans.
It pains me to say it,
man,
honestly.
This is like,
well, a little easier
kind of a depressing
Colts thing,
Thursday now. No, I don't know. I heard you walking around the newsroom after that big win for Jeff Saturday up against the Raiders, and I heard there was some optimism. You're saying the playoff pushes back on maybe for the Colts. That's what a little birdie told me.
Well, I mean, they have when you're led by a coach who's never lost a game, I mean, who really is the GOAT?
That's marinated with sarcasm, right? No, but, like, you're crazy with this football team. Like, you are a sucker for the Colts, and they so easily reel you back in. Where are you at in your percentage on the Colts could potentially go make the playoffs now?
Oh, like 1%.
Okay.
Yeah, no, there's no playoff push. It was a question that
some
we discussed.
Some may even say you're a little delirious
show,
with 1%.
No, come on. Yeah. Well, that's, I mean, look, AFC stinks. We'll give them 1%, but that's it.
No, Tennessee's not choking up.
No, not them. I'm saying that the rest of the playoff picture.
Oh, stop it. You got two teams in the AFC East, three teams in the AFC, four teams in the AFC East. All four teams in the AFC East are better than you guys. Then you look at the North, whoever finishes in second is going to be better than you guys, and the Chargers are better than you guys.
We'll see. Let's play it out.
Oh, stop it. Now we're back to we'll see.
No.
You're such a fraud. You're such a liar. Where now you're all giddy after one win.
I'm not giddy.
You thought they had no chance in.
I'm still not even rooting for them to win. I'm just saying.
I don't know. I have a little ring cam in your house, and I saw that ring cam, and I saw you jumping up and down doing the worm when Jeff Saturday was pumping his fist walking off that field up against the Las Vegas Raiders. Some even said you were in Las Vegas this past week. You were partying up. You were in that...
yelling at Josh McDaniels.
You were in that jacuzzi in the end zone, that jacuzzi club that they have in the end zone in the Las Vegas Raiders.
There's a jacuzzi
stadium.
In there?
I don't know if there's a jacuzzi. I just said it. I thought it sounded good.
That'd be pretty cool. There's some nightclub. Josh Rosen
they have
is
some club.
The owner. Yeah, a nightclub. I know that. There's a jacuzzi in the middle. I'm in. That'd be pretty cool.
Probably makes sense. I probably would think there's a pool probably in that club. If
there's
you're in
Las Josh Rosen's new NFL career.
Yeah, that's true. He could be the attendant. Hey, get me some chicken fingers and a beer, all right? Who are you? Oh, yeah. Oh, you're Josh Rosen? Wow. How the mighty have fallen. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Who wins the game tonight? Is it Green Bay or is it Tennessee? Hickey's going Tennessee. He loves the Titans now. 20-17. I'm also going 20-17. You know, let's be a little bit different. I'll go 23-20. We'll be drastically different there. But I will take the Green Bay Packers tonight. Go, Pack, go. We'll take a timeout. When we come on back, the NFL is getting soft. And NFL fans are getting soft. Get your winter coats on. Get your seven layers on. We'll discuss about this topic next.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today. Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Well, it's going to snow in Buffalo. Starting tonight, I believe I read, all the way through Saturday, they're expected to get anywhere from 3 to 6 feet of snow. So the NFL swooped in and said, yeah, we're not going to run the risk of not getting this game in or having to move the game back because of resources that are going to be need to be given to the community to get everyone out of the snow and all that. So we'll just move the game to Detroit. And I don't know if the Bills are going to stay in Detroit afterwards. I have no clue because they do then play on Thanksgiving Thursday. And that obviously is going to be in Detroit as it is the Lions and the Buffalo Bills. But you will have Bills and Browns in Detroit this weekend, Sunday, 1 o'clock, originally planned to be in Buffalo, but because of the snow, it's going to get moved to Detroit. And I feel as if we got robbed of, and first off, you hope everyone's safe, clearly, but I feel as if we got robbed of a potential great scene where you could barely even see the game because there's so much snow in the area. You have to beg fans to come to the stadium to help shovel out the stadium, and you give them like game tickets and stuff like that. You get the snowman Deion Dawkins helping people out. But not only that, imagine a tailgate in Buffalo, Hickey, with 3 to 6 feet of snow, mustard, ketchup getting thrown on people, that Pinto Ron guy or whatever his name is. You have people shirtless in that crazy weather, just jumping probably off snowbanks into tables. We're really getting robbed of what could have been a spectacular scene on Sunday in Orchard Park.
Nothing better than snow games. I like this would have been my favorite game of the week if this was played in Buffalo in the snow. Bills, Browns on the surface, not really, but this would have been tremendous to watch guys trudging through just feet of snow. It would have been awesome.
I loved all the jokes on Twitter today, too. Oh, well, like Nick Chubb is 5'7", and you take a look at Devin Motor Singletary's also short. I think it was, no, is it Devin Motor Singletary's like 5'7", and then it's Nick Chubb is 5'11", something
five,
like that.
Yeah, 5'9", 5'11". Yeah, they're both like, under.
And you're supposed to get 6 feet of snow. Now, the field would be plowed, but if the snow's coming down still during the game, that could be problematic. But I would have loved to have seen those little guys who are really good running backs run the football in all that snow. That would have been fun. I think that probably would have been the most intriguing thing to tune into for this game.
See if they can see above the snow.
Like the handoff to Nick Chubb, the snow is at his knee.
Tough tackle a guy and you can't see him.
Creeping up to his neck. So, hey, they're going to move the game because the way that I read it, this was not a Buffalo Bills call. This was more so consulting and counseling with state officials, and they didn't want to have to use any of the resources to get a Bills game going that could take away from keeping people safe with 3 to 6 feet of snow coming. So they're going to move the game to Detroit. It is what it is, but I do feel like we got robbed of an opportunity. But I feel as if we got in so soft in our world now that whenever you have something like this, when you have to move a game or a new stadium's being built, you have a percentage of people that are just your whiners, your complainers, your no fun people that go, oh, see, this is why the Bills' new stadium needs a roof on it. I've been to Buffalo for countless games. I went to Buffalo, now it wasn't snowing, but it was -2 degrees for that playoff game where the Patriots just had no shot up against the Buffalo Bills. It's just something about going to an environment when you have a football game, playoff game or not, and this would be a regular season, when it's a blizzard or when it's freezing. And as a fan, even though you got to wear 7 layers of clothes, you got to have the triple socks, the quadruple socks, you got to have the heavy boots, you got to bring cardboard out to stand on in the concrete stands to help you out. You need to make sure you have hand warmers and all that stuff, the hat. And you look as if you went to the buffet before the game with how many layers of clothing that you have to wear. I just think that's an awesome experience to have. I am so against, and I can't stand, whenever we have a certain crowd that just goes, oh, we need a roof. We need a roof on a stadium, especially in a place like Buffalo. You look at the fit and the feel of a city. When I think Buffalo, I think food, I think family, I think football, and I think of bad weather. Now, you could logically go, oh, well, if it's bad weather, Zach, wouldn't you want to avoid that? But doesn't that create such a great home field advantage? If you're a Bills fan, and let's say you get a home playoff game or two, or maybe the entire road travels through Buffalo, imagine a snowstorm in Buffalo right before a Bills playoff game, and I don't know, you get like the Los Angeles Chargers, or you get some team like the Dolphins, right, who have to deal with the sun and everything down in Florida the Bills were bitching about a few weeks ago. Imagine them having to come into a tough environment like Buffalo, not only the fans, but also have to deal with the terrible, terrible weather. Hickey, I don't know where you stand on this, but I hate the idea of a city like Buffalo, of all places, having to have a dome. Like if the Patriots built a new stadium, and I've been to a lot of bad weather games at Foxborough, I would be irate if Robert Kraft put a roof on top of Gillette Stadium whenever they decide to renovate Gillette Stadium or build a new stadium. Gillette's not that old. It's like 20-something years old. But I would be furious if they took that out of it.
Did the words football weather just disappear from our vocabulary? Is that like not a thing anymore?
A lot of people, you know, why would you want to sit through that? Oh, it's inconvenient. Oh, people are crazy to do that. That's what happens now. We've become such a soft society where you take away anything that builds a little character, anything that builds a little toughness. I remember going to games and my uncle would say, we're not leaving. We're staying for all four quarters. Make sure you have your gloves. Make sure you have your socks. Make sure you're in the proper attire and you're going to sit there. And my uncle would say, if you're crying because you want to leave, well, those tears are going to freeze. That's what he would say to me. Okay. But now, well, let's put a dome on the roof on the new stadium in Buffalo. Like what? It's Buffalo. That's the last place that needs a dome. Now, I could get from a money standpoint why people would want to do it, because then you could get, you know, big time events like a Super Bowl, or you could get a Final Four. But is the Final Four? I know they've had NCAA tournaments. Is the Final Four going to Buffalo if you have a roof on the place? Probably not. Is Buffalo getting a Super Bowl? Probably not, because you still have to deal, and they've gone to cold weather cities like Minnesota for a Super Bowl. You still have to deal with some bad weather for all the other events leading up to the game. So I don't want to hear about this dome nonsense. Oh, because it snows a lot in Buffalo, and it's freezing all the time in Buffalo. We need to now put a roof on the place. That would bother me. Like, imagine at MetLife Stadium in New Jersey, which, by the way, is a terrible stadium. In New York, the New Jersey area, they put a roof on top of that building. Remember growing up as a kid? I'm sure your dad, I know your dad wasn't a Giants fan. He was a Colts fan. But he would talk about the swirling winds at the old Giants Stadium, right? They'd always talk about that stuff. Football weather, I'm still a fan of football weather. Maybe that's just because I love football. I'm crazy. I'm a nut. And I'll be someone that will go to these games in the freezing cold. But the idea that we can't have these crazy weather games anymore and every stadium should have a dome on it, it's the definition of insanity and it's the definition of jackassery. And there's a lot of problems in our country. And there's a lot of things that I speak up against and out against. But if you're someone that is willing to say, yeah, let's go put a dome in Buffalo, I'm not willing to defend you. I am not. I think you're crazy. I think you're stupid. And I think you should change your beliefs. That's just the way that I feel about it.
You have last year, Packers, 49ers, great NFC divisional round game in the snow.
Yeah.
That's not allowed anymore, I guess. You have Miami, Tampa Bay, who thrive in the heat, thrive in the humidity. So if a cold weather team like Buffalo goes down, are we going to put it now? Is that what? The Dolphins can have a home field advantage because it's hot. That's okay.
Yeah, their sideline's like 30 degrees cooler. You know, let's put a roof on Hard Rock Stadium.
As soon as you get to the cold, that's not allowed. Let's just play in the elements. I don't understand why all of a sudden now this is a big deal or a talking point.
And frankly, if you build a roof, you build a roof. Like, there's SoFi Stadium. They have a roof on top of that place. It's an unbelievable stadium. It's a great stadium. But in a northeast place, there is no reason for a dome to be in New Jersey, to be in Buffalo, to be in Foxborough. That just doesn't make sense. Like, you want to just ruin history in the NFL? Let's never have another Ice Bowl again or something like that? There's some great cold weather games in the history of the NFL. And it's always a spectacle. And a lot of times the game isn't made for the people that are in the stands. It's made for the people on television. And it's so cool when you just see large grown men running around in the snow trying to score a touchdown. Like the Snow Bowl between the Raiders and the Patriots. Yeah, Foxborough had a roof on it. We may not even ever have a tuck rule. Because maybe with the ball falling around and everything in the snow and everyone diving on top of each other, Lonnie Paxton doing snow angels in the end zone after Adam Vinatieri kicked the game-winning kick. You want to rob us of those moments? Like, I remember as a kid watching Patriots-Dolphins, where Teddy Bruschi picked off a pass, ran into the end zone, and then started throwing snow at all the fans. That was awesome. But let's take that away. I don't know. Maybe it's just because when I grew up going to games, I went to a lot of cold weather games, and I thought that was the coolest thing as a kid. So I don't want to make kids unhappy now that get then deprived of that moment. But who knows with this new generation? Maybe this new generation, they just want to go to games in shorts, T-shirt, and flip-flops and not have to deal with the cold and not build character. Not that we're old men here, Hot Take Hickey, but we had character-building moments growing up going to some Colt games. Well, at least I did. I don't know about you because you're a Colts fan, and they always play indoors. Maybe
well,
that's
back
why
in my day, you know,
soft.
We'd walk up the ramps uphill both ways. I'd walk into the stadium up the hill, and then leaving the stadium would be even uphill even more.
It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll take a break. When we come on back, the Raiders are frugal, and that's maybe why Josh McDaniels will continue to keep his job. We'll get into that story next.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today. The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
We don't like domes in cold weather cities. And also, we will talk about the cash poor Raiders coming up in a bit. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. And Hickey, that may be the greatest irony of all this, is that I'm complaining for the last 10 minutes about this game being moved from Buffalo, and it is getting moved to a dome in Detroit, which is a cold weather city. When you look at that.
Who does have a dome?
Mm-hmm. But still, I'm not a fan of it. Like, if you were grandfathered in, that's one thing. But if you are a place like Buffalo that's never had a dome, why go to a dome now? 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Let's take some calls here. Scott in California, first up on the Zach Gelb Show. Scott, what do you say?
Hey, guys. Hey, Zach. I really like your energy. I like your show. And Hot Take Hickey, I worked with a guy named Hickey, and you came out with a great nickname versus what we have for that guy. Anyway, my question is this. I'm a diehard Vikings fan, and I was just asking you guys, why do you believe that the Vikings are 1.5 dogs in Minnesota against the Cowboys this weekend?
Yeah, it does feel like the Vikings should win this game, and I think what the reason is because Vegas thinks the Cowboys are going to win it. I would imagine they think they're going to have an emotional letdown maybe, and it's going to be tough to move on from that craziness against Buffalo, and Dallas is coming off an emotional game where they lost. So I think this is Vegas basically begging you to plus the points with the Vikings, and they're banking on the Cowboys to win. That's probably the best I have for you, but I do think the Vikings are a better team than the Cowboys, but I think this is a coin flip type of game. I think this will be another close game this weekend for your Vikings.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, no problem, Scott. Appreciate it. And the Vikings are a good team. You know, they 8-1. But they are getting disrespected. And I know some people will say, oh, we don't really look into the numbers. Oh, we don't really follow that stuff. All the players that say that, they're lying to you. Players read. The players, they listen. They hear everything that's being said about them. And they use the littlest things for motivation. And you come off a win like that, you're 8-1, you have a team that's 6-3, and you're a point and a half underdog, yeah, that is a little bit of a slap in the face. But you're going to bitch about it, or are you going to go out there and take care of business? Because for the Minnesota Vikings, they have a team that you look at the weapons, Jefferson, Cook, Thielen, Osborne, Madison, Hockenson. Defensively, we know what Patrick Peterson is, Adarius Smith, Kendricks. They got a good team. And in this entire NFC, you're looking around at everyone, And it's okay. The Eagles now have a loss. The Vikings have a loss. We'll see if Dallas could really start to put it together. You look at a team like the 49ers. They have a lot of talent. Tampa, are they getting back into it? We know they're going to win the NFC South. There's not a team that you really love in the NFC. There's a lot of teams that you like. And I do like Philadelphia, and I like Minnesota, probably the best two teams, in my opinion, in the NFC. But we'll see how this will really play out in the next month or two. But for Minnesota, if they win this game and they go to 9-1, I think then they won't be a dog for the rest of the season. Like, Ryan, if they go to 9-1, will they be a dog the rest of the way? They play the Patriots, you would think. On a short week and that game in Minnesota, the Vikings would be a favorite. They play the Jets in Minnesota. You think the Vikings would be a favorite. At Detroit, the Vikings would be a favorite. Indianapolis, the Vikings would be a favorite. The Giants, I think the Vikings are a better team than the Giants, even though the Giants are 7-2. End of the year, maybe in Green Bay, depending on what Green Bay is at. Maybe Green Bay is the favorite in that game. And then Chicago. So this may be the last time this year that the Vikings are a dog. But the only way that I could interpret that, Ryan, unless you have another thought or idea here, is that I really think Vegas is begging you to plus the 1.5 points this week with Minnesota, where people will just look at the record and say, oh, you have a team that's 8-1 compared to a team that's 6-3, and they're begging to take Minnesota because I think Vegas believes that the Cowboys are going to win the game.
Yeah, I'm with you, because it's either, you know, a letdown spell like we see in college football a lot, where teams get just, you're so emotionally spent that it's hard to get up for the next game, or... And they have been living dangerous. Like, it was a great game against Buffalo, but also you're trailing by 17 points. You needed
a crazy fumble.
Something we've really never seen before go your way to get a win.
They played a lot of close games. That's why some people are skeptical on the Vikings.
Right.
Now, I'd rather play close games and win than have these lopsided affairs, obviously, or play close games and not have it go your way. Like, clearly, you're going to take the wins as they come. But no one could have expected in all these close games that they would be winning all these. There's only one game where they really haven't been competitive this year, and that's Philadelphia. But you look at the Green Bay game. They sent the statement week one. Then they get blown out by Philadelphia. After that, they beat the Lions by 4. They beat the Saints by 3. They beat the Bears by 6. You beat the Dolphins 24-16. The Cardinals 34-26. The Commanders by 3. And the Bills by 3. There's a lot of close games. When you look at that. A lot of less than a touchdown, less than 8-point type of games.
But like I said, you don't apologize for winning.
No. You're 8-1. And right now, with how open the NFC is, if I'm a Vikings fan, I'm saying, why is it our year? That's what I'd be saying if I'm a Vikings fan. Let's go to Willie in Arizona next up on the Zach Gelb Show. Willie, go ahead.
How you doing, Zach? First time caller.
Appreciate it, Willie. What do you got?
Hey, I got something, man. First of all, I'm 51 years old. I've seen everything on football. And you know what? I get it. I get the ice. I get the snow. I get the water. But you know what? When do we become so selfish, instead of thinking of us, we're not thinking like a human, that these guys are getting hurt and really bad? I played soccer in college. I will not play in the ice. You know when they slide, you have to jump. If not, you'd see another Theismann incident.
But Willie, these guys play in stadiums that have roofs on it with turf that all the players complain about because the turf's unsafe, and that's not because of the elements. I don't think... you're getting a ton of injuries if you played a game in the snow. You could get the same amount of injuries if you go play a game in a dome that has turf on it that all these players hate. So I don't think it's being not thinking about the players because I want to see a cold weather game. We've had football being played for years and years and years, and I know it's not always been, it's not a safe sport. We all know that. It's a lethal sport. But I don't think you're going to see a ton of more injuries because you're getting a game played in the snow. If anything, doesn't it slow it down more, Hickey? Where, yeah, you can have guys sliding, but you're not having a lot of explosive plays, a lot of crazy cuts in a game like that.
Yeah, you're more worried about, like, tearing a groin because your foot slips than, like, getting crunched by a linebacker running full speed. You're all right about that.
But you go into a dome stadium with turf on it, and all those players say that's terrible. And they fear tearing their ACL. So I don't think the argument for that is... oh, yeah, we need to have domes because we can't play cold weather games because there's going to be a lot of injuries if you play a cold weather game. It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. How about this report from Bill Plaschke? So he was on Around the Horn, which he's been a panelist on for years, and he said that the Raiders are cash poor, which has been talked about a lot with Mark Davis to different levels, And he say, I'm saying right now, Josh McDaniels will be the coach this year and next year. The Raiders don't have the money to fire him to pay him off, Plaschke said. They are cash poor. Here we go again, Ryan. We have an owners in place in Mark Davis, and we don't know all of his finances, but there's been a lot of conversations throughout the years about how his finances aren't in the best spot compared to the other rich people that are in the owners club. And now if that's true, that they're not going to bring back, or they're going to bring back Josh McDaniels because they don't want to be paying the settlement with Gruden and then have to afford this other contract that they just committed to, that's not a good look for the NFL. More importantly, that's not a good look for the Raiders. But if you do recall, when we started to talk about Josh McDaniels and you started to celebrate because of how much you hate Josh McDaniels, I said to you, I still think he'll be back next year because it's tough to believe that the Raiders are then going to be paying pretty much three coaches at the same time. Whatever the payment plan is, however they figured out the payout in the John Gruden settlement, that's one coach that's not coaching the team. Then if McDaniels isn't coaching the team next year, you got to pay him. And then whoever you hire, whatever whiz kid on the offensive or defensive side of the ball, whatever coach from college that you'd bring in, you'd have to pay another coach. So to me, Josh McDaniels is going to be back next year. And I've said that now for weeks, and I'll stick by that, even though this is really ugly right now with the team's bad performance on the field. The good luck for them, which then also could be bad news, is this week you get the Broncos, who you already beat. You would think, and I'm leaning towards taking the points with the Raiders plus three, and I think the Raiders will win the game, and I think they have more on offense, even with all their injuries, because this Denver team, they can't score with anyone, but Denver has a really good defense, and you can flip it the other way. The Raiders don't have a good defense, so maybe this is the week that the Broncos pick up on offense.
If you are right, if Bill Plaschke is right, that the main reason, the only reason why Josh McDaniels is still employed is because basically Mark Davis is too poor to pay two or three coaches at a time, gotta sell the team.
I know it's not fair to the fans.
And I know, you know, you look at a guy like Dan Snyder who's gotten away with basically murder for the last 20 years and is still there. But you're right. Like, you can't hold a fan base hostage. You can't alienate what is a massive fan base of the Raiders because your owner can't afford, I mean, I know we're throwing these numbers around like it's willy-nilly, but like $10 million to buy out Josh McDaniels or pay him $10 million, pay another coach $5 million. Like, you got to be able to make these, like, afford to make moves like this, especially when you're in Vegas now trying to build up an enterprise with
the Raiders.
Well,
here's the thing. You always win. It may not be winning on the field, but when it comes to the state of the sport as a whole is never going to be in a bad financial spot with the $10, $11, $12 billion that they make year in and year out. So we always sit back and we say, look at everything that goes on that we could have a problem with in the NFL. But still, the majority of owners are happy. So if it's one or two that are some weak links, as history has shown you in different levels, they tend to put up with a lot and tend to put up with maybe what is not right. I agree with what you're saying, but you know he's not going anywhere for the foreseeable future, especially when you come from a football family. They will give him a long leash here, Mark Davis.
Oh, and you're right, but it's embarrassing, it's pathetic, and like I said, you're holding a fan base hostage, which is not a good look, especially, again, when you're so heavily invested in Vegas with all the gambling. Now, you have a team there.
I don't love going one and done. Like, I want to see if Josh McDaniels could turn around. I'm not saying I would expect it. He has shown you before that he's not a good head coach, and this has been a bad, really bad start to the year. But after 1 year, I always think if you hire someone, and this is different because I usually say in hires it's a rebuild, so you wash the first year, then the second year it's improved, third you make the playoffs. He was taking over a playoff team. So that's why there's more of a call to be one and done, because this team was 10-7, and now they're sitting in at 2-7. Same amount of losses that they had last year at the end of the season they have right now, and we're just starting week 11. So when I look at this and when I evaluate this, yeah, I could see why there is a call for one and done, but I usually err on the side of not going one and done and bringing him back. And I just want to see. I want to see what happens, because part of me also loves a disaster.
And I
want to see if they can figure out the disaster. Well, that may be the last straw, because the Broncos are horrible. That could be the last straw.
To your guy, Nathaniel Hackett.
Yeah, if you lose to Nathaniel Hackett, then you're the idiot. And then you got to go. Then maybe I'll be tweeting out like you did the other day, McIdiot or McDoofus. Maybe I'll do a little spinoff. You go McIdiot, I go McDoofus when talking about Josh McDaniels.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.